The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and he sat down by the sea. Such large crowds were gathered around him, so much so that he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd stood along on the shore. And he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground where it had little soil. It sprang up at once because the soil was not deep, but when the sun rose, it scorched and withered for lack of roots. Some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit 100 or 60 or 30-fold. Whoever has ears to hear ought to hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. The seed sown on the path is the one who hears the word of the kingdom without understanding it. The evil one comes and steals away what was sown in his heart. The seed sown on rocky ground, the one who hears the word and receives it once with joy, but has no root and lasts only for a time. When some tribulation or persecution comes because of the word, he immediately falls away. The seed sown among thorns is the one who hears the word, but then worldly anxiety and the lure of riches choke the word, and it bears no fruit. But the seed sown on rich soil is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed will bear fruit, yielding 100 or 60 or 30-fold. The Gospel of the Lord. Our gospel text today is taken from the 13th chapter in the book of Matthew. And on next Sunday, we'll also be in chapter 13. In the 13th chapter of Matthew, there are four different parables, metaphors dealing with the seed. And this is the first of the four which we have today. The sower goes out to sow the seed. A little background on this. On the northwest shore of the Sea of Galilee, there is a very remote area called the Bay of Parables. I visited that place only one time in 1989. Cardinal Manning and Monsignor Turgis and I did a retreat over there for couple of weeks, and a scholar, scripture scholar from Galilee, showed us the Bay of Parables. It's a small horseshoe-shaped inlet in the Sea of Galilee and has an extraordinary acoustical value, so much so that I stood down in the water and spoke, not shout, I just spoke, projected my voice, and those who were 50 yards away heard what I said. There's an amphitheater, a natural amphitheater there. That's where Jesus speaks this parable of the sower going out to sow the seed. The next background that's very important is he gets into a boat, the symbol of the bark of Peter, symbol of the church. And then he sits down, Any time, especially in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus sits down, Matthew wants you to pause and listen very carefully. The sitting rabbi is a teaching posture. It's the origin of our chair of medicine and our chair of the teaching chair of Peter, the teaching chair in the cathedral. The Latin word cathedra means chair. So the cathedral is a place where the bishop has his chair of teaching. And there's only one cathedral in every diocese and one teaching chair which belongs to the bishop. So Jesus sits in the boat and he teaches. So now we are summoned to listen to his teaching. He says, the sower goes out to sow his seed. Jesus is the sower in the parable. And he'll have four different responses to the seed which is sown. The seed is sown with great generosity. Way back there at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 in Matthew, it says, God makes the sun to rise and the rains to fall on the just and the unjust. So the seed is sown for everyone, the just and the unjust. So listen to the teaching of the parable. The seed is cast. The farmer casts the seed, which is the origin of our word, broadcast. We cast abroad the seed. And as the farmer is casting the seed, the first falls on the pathway, the place where all people walk. But nobody notices. Nobody cares about the seed that's sown on the path. It's ignored. And the birds of the air come and eat it up. No effect. A certain passage in life where the seed is sown and nobody cares and nobody notices. But the abundance of God is given anyway, even though it has no effect. The second image given here, it's sown on rocky ground. And it takes root, but it's not deep. There's no depth in the person. It's rocky ground. And so the sun scorches it and it produces no harvest. The third image is a seed sown among thorns, among the weeds. And at first it seems to find life, but then the weeds grow up and stifle the seed, and it produces no fruit. This is the person who follows the word of God, but then all the things of the world suffocate the seed, and it produces no harvest. The fourth one, the seed is sown on ground which is open, ground which is broken. In the time of Jesus, the seed could be sown first, and then the field is plowed, or the field could be plowed first, and then the seed is sown. But the seed becomes part of the earth. It's the broken earth that receives the seed. It's only the soil which is broken it can receive the seed and produce a harvest. Only the broken earth. What does this mean to us? Paul Tillich says, pain will interrupt your life and will remind you of who you are. This is true of pain, it's true of sickness. It's true of infirmity, of helplessness. It's true of aging. We tend to rediscover who we are. It's true of persons who recognize their sins and ask for forgiveness. That's the broken ground. That's the only ground that will receive the seed and will produce a harvest. David Brooks says, when you get to that place, the seed is sown in that manner, you are beginning to look at what he calls the second mountain. Now, some of you may have read his book, The Second Mountain. It's a wonderful story about the second half of life and rediscovering the meaning of life. The second mountain is in contradiction to the first mountain. We're striving, we achieve, you make money, you get titles, you become successful, and then somewhere in the journey of life, all of these things lose their primacy. They have value, but not the meaning of life. And now, Brooks says, now you have to search for the second mountain, which is a spiritual journey. It doesn't involve the riches of the world. It doesn't involve success or recognition. It's a spiritual journey. It's the hunger of the second mountain. That might be difficult for young people to understand because they're still in the early stages of a real depth of life. The second mountain is only given to those who pause long enough, who have been wounded sufficiently, who have failed enough to understand that all the things of the world, they're all passing. Only certain things are enduring. I see it all the time. I see it in my own life. You know, I was 33 years old when I was made a Monsignor. I was the youngest Monsignor in the diocese. I thought I was like anointed. I mean, my mother thought I was sent by God. I was messianic. And I dressed up and I liked the title. And then over the years, it lost its value. And I said, there's a different meaning to life. This is not it. Recognition, applause, a big office, power, all these things, they're all passing. And someday, David Brooks likes to ask the question, how did you get to be where you are in life? He says he asks that question all the time to people. And almost always the answer begins that somebody lifted me up. Somebody took my hand when I was having a hard time. Somebody believed in me. Somebody took time to understand me. Somebody encouraged me. Somebody saw possibilities in my life. When I was in darkness, somebody fed me with a word of kindness. The seeds of love, the seeds of belief, the seeds of confidence, the seeds that come from the living God. That's the meaning of the parable. Only given to those who are broken. Until we have experienced setbacks, until we have encountered failure, until we have faced the sins, the selfishness, the lack of forgiveness, the lack of caring for others, the lack of seeing God's presence in all people, especially in those who are unwelcome. Until we get there, we cannot understand this parable. Because the seed of kindness, the seeds of life, the seeds of hope, the seeds of faith are given only to those who have encountered their brokenness. It's a new life. It's the second mountain, says David Brooks. Brooks, a devout Jew, went through a big, big change in his life, lots of pain, lots of struggle, very successful, intellectual, superior man. He had a great darkness in his life, and he was reborn in the second mountain. He married again, became a Christian. He's a Jewish Christian, observant Jew, observant Christian. A very inspiring fellow, but he said the only way to understand the depth and the meaning of life is when we are visited by the seeds of forgiveness, the seeds of kindness. Until that happens in our lives, we're inward looking at ourselves. We're seeing the meaning of life in our own success and our own kind of luxury. We're feeding our own wellness instead of looking at another. But the harvest will only be realized when we get to this place where the seed that falls into our lives transforms us and allows us to become a harvest for others. It's a sobering meditation, but that's the only way in which the word of life can become meaningful for us. Amen. We have some members of our journeying community here. Please stand.